sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Before I start this show, I want to remind you all that this podcast exists in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green while waving a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 30th, 2022. What is it? 5:27 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff record label, as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Nah, seriously, this is not the episode for you. Especially this episode. Well, all our episodes is a fuck you too, Whitey, but this one in particular is going to have an extra sentiment in it. Yeah. All right. I'm going to start out and just say that I'm not in the best mood right now. I don't know what's going on. Like my chakra, whatever the fuck you want to, I don't know what word I want to use, but my mood, if I had a mood ring, it'd be an ugly color. I can't explain it. I'm trying to snap out of it, you know, doing some cantation and shit, and nothing's working. I just feel like there's something in me that wants to ruin this fucking episode. So I'm gonna power through, see what happens. Hold on, just a little taste of some H2O, and we start. All right, so today's episode 025. Hey, we made it. Quarter of a century. That's what I told myself when I turned 25. I'm a quarter of a century. But I'm a quarter away from 100. And 025, because all I want to be is true. I will elaborate on that title this week in therapy. I was actually considering calling this episode 025. Did I really not write this shit down? Man, I hate my notes. sorry. Yeah, did I really? No, I did write it down. I was going to call it, where did I put it? Twitter, Elon, and white people's rights to use the N-word. And the right for white people to use the N-word. Oh, there it is. Yeah, the alternative title is Twitter, Elon, and white people's right to use the N-word. Rights? Is that plural form? I don't know. Anyways, yeah. I'm going to elaborate on that one in the random thoughts section, which is the last section of this episode. I'm going to first start out and say happy Halloween. Just like I said, this is being recorded on the 30th, but this will be published on the 31st. How do you spell Halloween? I get the feeling I didn't spell that right. Doesn't matter. And You know what? I'm going to try to start with a little moment of positivity. And that's shout out to the people in Iran still protesting the death of Mahsa Amini. 3 days, 4 days ago, the 26th? Is that when I recorded the last episode? Anyway, it's been 40 days. 40 days of mourning for the death of Mahsa Amini. And I just kept the link to the video, and you can see the protest of it's protesters as far as the eyes can see. Yeah. Protest as the eyes can see. Yeah. Someone in I got this from Reddit, and someone in the comment section wrote down and said, FYI, today marks 40 days since Mahsa Amini's death. The 40-day mourning period is a big deal in Islam, especially around someone considered as a martyr. If something is going to go down in Iran, it'll all at least start today. Damn. Yeah. And for those who don't know, Mahsa Amini is the woman who was killed in Iran for killed by the quote-unquote morality police. I just like to say the religious nuts who, for exposing her hair. Yeah, see, I guess in Islam they have a rule. Is it a rule? Restrictions? There's a thing in Islam where, women are asked to, cover their hair. And it's a choice. It's a personal choice on behalf of the believer whether they choose to adopt that practice. But in Iran, or in a particular part of Iran, or in the area of the people who killed her, they take that shit very seriously. Like, for them, covering their hair is like asking a woman to not show her legs. We don't want to have men jerking off into to your hair what's interesting is I remember watching this poster when I was on Facebook and it was an image of, I guess it was meant for Muslim kids to try to, and what it is you had two women. One woman, she was dressed like nice by my standards, modest. She was dressed like she was wearing pants, a sweater, but she was just looking like, I'm gonna hang out with my girls on Friday night. And on the other one, and on the other end is you had a woman. She was dressed in, she had the hijab and the face covering and all that shit. And the one who was dressed, I'm gonna hang out with my girls on Friday night, she was going to hell. That was the poster. I'm describing the poster. She was. Her pathway was leading to hell, and the other one was to heaven. And the thing is, this is not my point is not to, this is what they do in Islam. My looking at that image had me thinking about how much we, people who think the same similarly, like regulate women's clothing. Like, I grew up religious myself. And shit that would send me to hell is, watching porn, jerking off, having sex before getting married, not going to church. But nothing in there had anything to do with my clothing. Okay, I guess, don't wear Timberlands, but that shit wasn't enforced on me the same way it was enforced on women. It was one of those things that was like, you know what? I think my feminist friend is starting to make, all of a sudden, my feminist friends are starting to make more sense. Shit, it's just things like that. So, all this to say that, I don't want to say thoughts and prayers, but my thoughts are with the people in Iran, and they, in the fight against good versus evil, I don't believe in that shit, but I do believe in good people and bad people. People who just make your life better, and people who just fuck, just make life more complicated than it needs to. So the people who make life better, enjoyable, inspiration, those are my good people. That's what I mean. And Yeah, my thoughts go out to the people of Iran because they're fighting a righteous fight. They're fighting a good fight. And, yeah, I don't like seeing bad people win. That's what I'm saying. I don't like when the bad guy wins. That's what it's all about. All right. I did the Happy Halloween protest as far as I could see. You know what? Let's just get on with the show. And, you know what? Okay, I'll tell you what. Just to get me in the mood of things, I'm going to read before. Okay, so this week in therapy, I'm going to read this post that I found on Instagram. Thought it was a little inspirational. And it's from Band-Aid for the Heart. And there's 10 posts, and I'm just going to read them out loud, right? Okay, just stay, you know. Because like I said, I need to snap out of it. There you go. Number one. Sometimes you need to give up on people, not because you don't care, but because they don't. Hold on a second. Oh, right. I restarted my computer, and I turned off some valuable piece of some valuable stuff here. So, yeah, this is what I meant to do. Oh, God damn it. Forgot to hit save. Jesus Christ. But here we go.
Message.
There we go. All right. second one goes. it's going to be a tough show. Learn to rest, not quit. That's a good one. That's a very good one. Yeah, as I'm struggling through this life. And sometimes, you know, those thoughts of suicide is just really, I can tell you that. Yeah, sometimes you might be thinking you want to, you know, kill yourself. But the truth is, you just might need to rest. Just think about it. Just think about it. All right. Three, you don't wake up and become the butterfly. Growth is a process, deep. All right. Four, when you leave, I read the dictionary at 3 p.m. I still can't find the word that means wanting to live inside someone's eye. The word that means wanting to bury love alive. Yeah, I'm not sure what that means, but I'm sure it means something good for someone else. Okay. By the way, this will be in the show notes so you can look at them yourself. Where are we now? Four, five? I think we're five. Yeah. How much ache can one chest hold? Too much, too much, too much. All right. Six. Have you ever felt healthy love? Are you even attracted to it? Or do you find unhealthy love more attractive because you know it better? Most importantly, do you believe you're worthy of healthy love? Okay, well, that one is more for you than it is for me. The sun sees your body, the moon sees your soul. I like that one. Okay. Recovery is hard, regret is harder. Interesting. People can only meet you as deeply as they've met themselves. Interesting. Yeah, this one's, I'm gonna need that. That one's gonna need some time to marinate. You are the greatest masterpiece you'll ever work on. Ah, I love that one. All right, check this out.
Message.
Yeah, here we go. And, oh, that was the last one. Okay, that was a beautiful one. Okay, you are the greatest masterpiece that you'll ever work on. Now, which brings me to, if you've listened to the previous episode that I recorded on a Wednesday, I'm going to tap myself on the back for doing that because I remember really not wanting to record a podcast, but I forced myself to do so. And I'm kind of hoping it'll be a tradition. But yeah, episode 024, Glock on my waist. Towards the end of the show, I was talking about how this thought that crossed my mind, and it was Glock on my waist. Glock on my waist. Now, I didn't write this shit down. It was just a thought. I'm not even sure what I'm trying to say. I gotta warn you that I tend to not know what the fuck I'm trying to say until I say it. I guess I should have written it down. But where was I going with, yeah, podcast without an audience? Yo, so here it is, right? So I've put zero effort, I mean zero effort into marketing and publicizing this podcast. And that's intentional. Part of me is just enjoying the publishing process. But I am thinking about, can I call myself a podcast without an audience? Let that shit marinate. Can a pimp be a pimp without any hoes? Wow, I just called the audience hoes. No, I'm just saying, can a musician, can an artist, can anyone who relies on an audience call themselves, can these people call themselves performers if they don't have an audience? I'm working on that one. But I'm working on that definition. Like, because I like the idea of, you know, dance like no one else is looking. But I also like the idea of, like I said, this is my journal. This is my, like, I'm journaling right now, and this is my soapbox. I don't want to force people to listen to this shit if you don't want to listen to it. If you listen to it, if you listen to it, it's because you want to listen to it. That's what, you know, this reminds me to when I was working in retail. Hold on, I'm trying to get comfortable here. When I was working in retail, and sales guy, I was working in this one particular company. They didn't have, we didn't have commissions, but you did have quotas. You were expected to sell by a particular amount. And I'm just thinking about how they were trying to encourage us to be into sales. Now, I didn't get it too much because to me, I felt like I was hustling people into doing shit they didn't want to do. To me, that's how it felt. In my limited understanding of this world, sales to me just felt like hustling people. Now, I understand if you have something that you believe is good. Like if I have, let's say, The Wire, the motherfucking Wire, or House of the Dragon. If I'm talking to you about House of the Dragon, it's because I'm telling you how much I'm enjoying. So I guess that would be considered sales. I guess that's, you know, I want you to enjoy this as much as I'm enjoying it. I want you to share this enjoyment. So I guess that's what they mean by sales. Now, when we get to this podcast, it's a different kind of beast because I don't listen to my own podcast. I don't like I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. This Jerry Seinfeld quote in one of his his TV show Seinfeld. Yeah, and there's an episode where he's dating this woman. And who reminds him so much of him. Hold on a second. There we go. Okay. Who reminds him so much of him. And at first, he's like enjoying it and shit. It's like, yo, my God, we complete each other's sentence and yada, yada, yada. And towards the end, he's like, yo, I hate this bitch. He goes, why the fuck would I date someone who's like me? I hate myself. Anyway, I'm feeling like I'm not there yet, but at some point I'm going to have to push this podcast with the belief that you're going to get something out of it. But at the moment I can't see it. Right now I'm just focused on recording it. I'm enjoying it. I like talking about shit that I enjoy, that I like, that I find interesting. But I don't feel like it's something that I could, hey, if I was on the bus, but hey, you should check out this podcast. But if we were like-minded people, and I guess that's what marketing's all about. If we were like-minded people, then I can slowly see, I feel less like I'm trying to coerce you into doing something you don't want to. It's more like, hey, I think you would enjoy this. I think you would like what's being said on this podcast. But with that said, I'm not there yet. And this, not bad for someone who didn't write down these notes. And this brings me to the title of today's episode, because all I want is to be true. Now, I had a moment today that I just need to share with my fellow podcast listeners. I just had a moment today while listening to True by Lloyd, the R&B singer's Lloyd. And I initially thought that song was a love song, but no, it's exactly face value. It's basically like he says. It's just him talking about how he's trying to keep it real in this world, and I love how he keeps repeating the in the chorus in the hook is, please accept me for who I am. Please accept me for you know what? Let me just pull up the lyrics before I see. You know, when I'm in the showers, I don't think about this kind of shit. But when there's a microphone in front of me and potential audience, I'm self-conscious about my ability to remember lyrics. All right, he goes, this song is about the struggles and obstacles he faces in his life and wants to be real, true person for all people. Okay, the song goes, the verse goes, hey, we're, hey, okay. Whoa, nearly tried to sing it. Yeah, No, that's the verse. Okay, yeah, he goes, chorus. He goes, this is me, so please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, because all I want to be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do, because there's no me without you, and all I want to be is true. All right, now I'm slowly finally getting into that moment that I had today while listening to this song, and this chorus is pumping into my head. By the way, a common theme with every episode that I've published so far is this is me. Accepting this is me. This is who I am. Being okay with that. So, I remember having, okay, so the moment that I had, growing up, I've always had this moment, like, I feel like I've, going through the world, like the world is one big ass store, and I'm going through the world, and everything that I want has a price that I can't afford. And the currency is me. Like, I always feel, like I feel like I go through life like I'm not enough. I remember having, and this is a thought that crossed my mind while watching porn. By the way, porn will be a topic on Random Thoughts. Yeah, well, watching porn is, what's the point of being me if I can't get what I want? So, while watching porn is, you know, maybe I'm watching just these two women go at it, with one guy, and I badly, in that moment, want to be that guy. And I'm like, and I'm telling myself, and I remember having a moment of, what the fuck is the point of being me if I can't have that? Yeah, I had that moment. I had that moment. And this is what I'm getting at is, it's like, I think I've been going through life with my desires, with what I want. You know, this is what some philosophical shit. It's maybe the way I see the world. It's like I'm going through life, like life is one big ass store, and you just go around buying shit. But I'm in the category of human beings who can, the best they can do is window shop. I'm a window shopper. Yeah, yeah. All they can do is look at the window and stare at shit they can't afford. And I think maybe. Again, I'm thinking out loud, and I'm wondering, maybe I'm having it wrong, and life, what I should have focused on is, calculating my balance, seeing basically self-acceptance, accepting what I am, who I am, what I have to offer the world, and then start to think about what I want in this world. Now, I'm just... This is just, it's a thought that I'm spitting out. I'm not sure if it's true. A few episodes from now, I might be like, did I actually say this shit? Man, I'm fucking wrong. But it's as if I feel like I've been going through life unable to afford the shit that I actually want. What is the porn category? So I talked about porn, the porn category, but the shit that I want were like materialistic. Like most of the things that I want, like maybe, I think that's how, maybe all of us in this capitalist world, we've all been set up to believe that you ain't shit, but someone has a product that you can buy that will make you, you know, like makeup will give you some kind of something you can add to yourself so that you can be enough. Anyways, all this to say, all this buildup, this setup, all this to say, while listening to this song by Lloyd and the chorus pumping in my head, I had a moment where I considered the possibility that I had it all, I have it all wrong, and I am enough. That was the thought, being enough. I was trying to linger in that thought, what it must be like to be a human being who accepts who they are, and they're like, yo, I'm all that is to it. That I'm like, no greater, no less, this is me, this is who I am. Love me or leave me the fuck alone. Like, why the fuck am I trying to impress people who are better off just leaving me alone? Because I ain't going to be who you need me or want me to be. I'm just me. Like I said, yeah, so I'm struggling with this concept of just being me and being content and being satisfied and being satisfied and believing that's all there is to it. Like, I don't know what kind of person I would be if I was like that, but I do know the one thing I can brag about is that I'm keeping it real, that I'm true, that I went out through life. That's probably what I want on my tombstone, man. He was authentic. He kept it real. But at the moment, yeah, man, nah, that's a struggle for me. The realest, I'm on this podcast trying to figure out who my true self is. Because in the real life, nah, man, you're looking at a, how do I say this? I'm not a spectator. I'm an actor. I grew up in a church. And I feel like one of the lessons or one of the values that I've gathered is how to be fake, how to be what everyone wants you to be. Well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. The whole story makes no sense, but I don't want to piss you off. So I'm going to tell you that I believe in this virgin birth and this blonde hair, blue eye cracker being my savior, even though his people enslaved ours. But yeah. For the sake of conversations, yeah, I don't know how to keep it real, and I'm learning it. I'm not saying I'm full of shit. I'm not saying I'm a liar, you know, and whatnot. I was in a conversation with a friend, and he was making a point. He has this habit of doing that. He was making a point, which I was willing to accept, but then I pointed out, okay, but if you're saying this, then you're also saying that. And he didn't want to hear that. Does that make sense? Okay. And this is not to diss my friend. It's just more to explain an example of why people go into therapy, because sometimes you end up not realizing. Okay, here, I'll just get to the example. It might make more sense. Essentially, he was trying to engage me in a conversation about the inconveniences some of us went through during the lockdown. And I should probably mention that he's a business owner. And I guess a lot of business owners felt the pinch, felt like, yo, this fucking lockdown, this fucking COVID fucked me up for real. And, you know, the mask mandates and all that shit. Now, here's the thing. He will tell you, he will take offense to the idea of being called an anti-masker, a virus, the COVID was a hoax, but he would take offense to all that. This dude followed the protocols. He did everything that you were supposed to do. But he felt the need to just bring out that, yo, some of the shit, some of these regulations, some of these things that they wanted us to do just didn't make any sense. And here's the thing. I can sympathize with that. I can understand it, especially him as a business owner. I can understand that he had moments, except, man, fuck these mandates. He probably had more moments than I did. Like, okay, you know what? I'm going to admit that I'm during the mandates that, you know, I fucking loved. Okay, it sucked. It sucked for some people, but I did enjoy lockdown. I did enjoy being on myself, but I know for other people, that shit drove them nuts. I can understand that. I can sympathize with that. I can, you know, I get it. You know, I'm like, I'll give you a hug. That's the best I can offer to you. I can understand that some people during lockdown, some careers were lost. Business went down. So like I'm not talking about people who a lot of people saw it as one big ass inconvenience. I get it. High five. I agree with that. But the thing is, I couldn't stop myself. I kept bringing up that for us, I could see this how it's an inconvenience. But what about that person who just lost that lottery or gained that, you know, won that unfortunate lottery of being negatively affected by COVID, where you had a loved one die, someone, an actual loved one die. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. There are a few people who caught COVID, and I was like, hey, you fucking deserve it, because they were anti-vax and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're not getting any sympathy from me. Anyway, that's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm thinking about people who crying because they, what's up with your husband? What's up with your wife? What's up with your kid? Whatever. Lost them to COVID. Awkward conversation. There are people who are like, fucking COVID is the worst thing that happened to them. And I'm wondering, and I kept bringing this up, I'm wondering if those people are like talking about the inconvenience of these mandates. Are they sitting down saying, yo, this shit is inconvenient? Are they sitting down like, yo, the government did too much? Or are they sitting there saying, nah, they didn't do enough? Are they looking at it that way? Like I can't stop myself from seeing trying to see the world through their eyes. And I try to bring this up, and homie, though every time I try to bring up that perspective, he kept taking it like I was accusing him of being an anti-vaxxer and all that shit. I'm like, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. Even though it kind of looks that way, but that's not what I'm trying. Like, stop blaming me for accusing you. stop trying to blame me for shit you're feeling about yourself, for shit you're realizing about yourself. And I made this long ass point. I realized I took all these detours. Made this long ass point just to say that poor brother is also struggling with just being real, being true, being his real self. And that's what I mean by being true. Being able to look at shit that you realize that, oh wow. Like, there's moments when I'm like with my therapist, and she'll be like, oh, it turns out that you like to cry. Oh, you're crying. You like to cry. Sometimes you need a moment that you need to cry and shit like that. And it's true, but the other part of me is like, did she just call me a bitch? Yeah, that's something I realized in therapy, that I am not going to get rid of the toxic masculinity in me. Like, that shit is ingrained like a virus, or like a birthmark. Like, it's not something. I'm never going to be able to get rid of the toxic masculinity. The best I can do is manage that shit. It's kind of like white people. If you're a white person, actually black people, anyone born in this society, you are not going to get that racism. We were all born infected with this fucking racism. Ain't shit you can do about it but manage it. So getting back to my point of, she'll point out something about me that turns out isn't on the list of things that quote unquote real men do. And I'm like, oh shit, that's true. While being like, oh, that makes me a bitch. Oh fuck. What do you mean I'm sensitive? Great. And that makes me a bitch. And the whole point, I'm realizing that but the whole point I'm trying to make is, all I want to be is true. The problem that I think, okay, all I want to be is true while accepting the fact that I was raised to be accommodating, to be fake, and that shit's not going to go away. So I have two desires. I have a desire that's, and the obstacle is my upbringing. I've been nurtured into, because I'm trying to survive in this world, and sometimes being in this world is self-preservation. Sometimes you got to keep shit to yourself. Sometimes you got to be careful. Like, I know that I might get myself in trouble for saying fuck Whitey, even though my intention is, I'm not talking a human being. I'm not talking an individual. I'm talking about the racist and the society and the systemic aspect of, but I know there's going to be one white person in power who's probably is able to decide whether I have a job or not. It's going to be like, fuck Whitey. Fuck, I feel offended what he says. Dismissed. You know, I'm just, holy shit, I spoke too much, man. I'm reflecting on the idea of me saying all I want to be is true. I'm telling you, all I want to be is true while accepting the fact that it's easier said than done. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Hold on, let me adjust my chair. I don't know what it is, but every time I'm recording a podcast, by the end of the podcast, my core muscles hurt in my stomach. I don't know what that's about. Maybe I'm not sitting properly. Maybe I need a better microphone. Yeah, hold on. Let me raise this microphone. Let me adjust my weave. Okay, let's fuck it. All right. Okay. And this concludes this week in therapy. What sound effect do you want to play, B? Hold on a second. That was pathetic. This concludes this week in therapy. Okay, I got to work out that. All right, let's go into random thoughts. I'm all over the place of this one here. Random thoughts. Okay, this is a quick one that just crossed my mind. That crossed my mind this week is I'm wondering whether. Okay, I should write this one down, but I'm wondering whether. Getting the older I get, the harder for me it is to handle being outside of my comfort zone. See, as a young person, I actually avoided trying to be out of my comfort zone while forgetting that. Like, I didn't have the mindset to be, this is a good thing. It's a good thing for you to feel fucked up and everything like that. But I'm to feel this way. My problem is, as I'm getting older, I feel like my heart rate is like I'm about to have a heart attack. Yeah, I feel my heart rate is up. Like, I have a Fitbit. No, not a Fitbit. I have a Samsung Gear, which is like the Android equivalent of a Fitbit. And when I'm outside of my comfort zone, my watch is like, hey, dude, are you jerking off? What the fuck? What's going on? Because my watch doesn't think that I'm working out or anything like that. It's like, yo, heart rate is up. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah, I'm just, anyway, it's just a thought. I'm wondering whether the older you get, the harder it is to exist outside of your comfort zone. Or maybe I'm making an excuse. All right, next item. I've always wanted to take up the subject, and this might be an episode on its own, but I'm bored with porn, man. I am bored with porn. Now, I'm saying this, you would think it'd be a good thing, but the problem is, I have nothing to, okay, I can do a whole episode on my relationship with porn, and I don't know how old that was, maybe 7 years old when I made them, I won't say mistake, but my life went downhill when discovering porn, but it is what it is. I this shit hit me, first time I saw, it hit me like heroin. The way it's described, or meth. And now, it's like, I still watch porn, but it's not like, it feels more like it's a psychological thing. Like, I feel like I have to, like I need to, but the effect doesn't hit me. It doesn't hit me like McDonald's used to hit me. I don't know. My only point to this, I need to probably write down, make an analysis of my relationship with pornography, and the fact that it's not hitting like it used to. I'm not saying today's porn sucks. That's not my point is. I'm saying I've watched so much of it that I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm worried I'm going to be into, okay, I need to watch some fucked up, you know, do you have anything involving animals? I don't know. Is that what my transition is going to be? Like, it doesn't hit me like it used to. Now, I will say the closest the closest category that I do enjoy, or like, okay, I'm not enjoying, okay, the best one so far, or that I've narrowed down to, is I kind of enjoy the any theme in porn that falls under this man. It builds up the case that, okay, I was watching this one particular clip. It starts off with this man being with his wife, and they emphasize the fact that homie's in love, that, I love you, blah, blah, you know, I love you too. It's like he's in a beautiful relationship. Cut to the next scene, he's a teacher in a university, and he's dealing with one of his students, and he's being seduced by the student, and he's like, I can't do it, and he ends up having sex with the woman. But I kind of like the idea that's actually, I don't know if it's a category of its own, but basically where a man is in a situation where having sex with this particular person is going to ruin his life, like orphanage burned down, war are being declared because this motherfucker couldn't keep his dick in his pants. I like that kind of. It's basically, it's beautiful image to think about, but not to happen in real life. Like, if this was real life, come on, dude, don't cheat on your, you know, you're in a, you know, your woman trusts you and shit like that. Don't do that. Don't, you know, it's like, in real life, that sucks. But in pornography, that's, it gets my attention. It gets my attention. Where did I, okay, this all started with, yeah, I'm bored with porn, but the closest I've come to enjoying it was that category of porn where a man is at a situation where he's throwing his entire life away just for that booty. I bet there's a bit in there, but okay, let's jump to the next category. All right, this is in the news. So if you notice in my intro, I've avoided mentioning that B Blizzak is my username on Twitter, and it looks like I'm gonna have to start publishing Twitter because Elon Musk this week end up buying Twitter, or it finalized the deal. He now runs Twitter. And what's interesting is an article that came out that said, a piece called Use of N-Word on Twitter jumped by almost 500% after Elon Musk takes over as troll test limits on free speech, and report says. Oh, now it works. Oh, my God. Sorry, I was about to say fuck Insider as a news story because I load the article and I couldn't scroll through the article. Doesn't matter. All right. Okay. Will be in the show notes. My only thoughts in this is Elon went buying Twitter is basically good news for the bad guy. That's pretty much what the article is all about. A lot of trolls are like, okay, since Elon Musk is running things, let me test my ability to use the N-word. Like, I got banned from Twitter for a few days. For responding with stone him to a joke. Or actually said, I think I said hang him. Another time I said hang him in response to a post by Trump. But I wasn't talking about actually hanging the motherfucking guy. It was just more like, hey, he said something I don't approve of. I was kind of, anyway, okay, I guess I need to learn how to be more specific in my vocabulary because I do get emotional and sometimes use the words recklessly. But anyway, I got in trouble for that. But anyway, it looks like these white guys just like wanted to like, yo, our hero is in charge. Now runs the Seven Kingdoms. Rape is legal. I don't know. Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to read the whole article, but all this to say that it's a good day for the bad guys. And this is why I don't trust white dudes, white people, when they try to engage me in a conversation about free speech. During my comedy days, I used to, anytime a white person complain about how he, she can't say what they can't say, all I hear is, yeah, you just want to say the N-word. That's what it's all about. No, it's not that you just want to say the N-word. You want to say the N-word without any consequences. And I ain't with that. So get back, Jack. Back. Next piece of news. Next article. All right, you know what? I've actually been ignoring Kanye news. But Kanye is like slowly going down into oblivion. And the article goes, in a span of a month, Kanye West has destroyed his empire. And I read the article, and it's pretty much how homie has lost $2 billion in deals. I just confirmed it because I remember a few weeks ago, I Googled Kanye's net worth and $4 billion or $2 billion showed up. And now he's down to $1 billion. Whatever. But yeah, apparently homie has like fucking shit up for himself. Two things I'm just going to say about Kanye. Because I think homie enjoys being in the news. I don't actually, you know what? I'm not going to pretend to understand what the fuck's going on in Kanye's mind. What I will say is I don't know how to react to Kanye news. On one end, I want to be mad, especially when he said that slavery was a choice shit. I want to throw stones at him. I want to, you know, like public hang that motherfucker. I was angry. I was hurt. But on the other end, I'm also looking at him as I think that dude needs help. Like, do you think he's intentionally fucking himself up? Or or something ain't right up there. I'm like, I don't know how to react. Like, should I be sympathetic or should I hate the dude? Is that what he wants? Does he want to be hated? Is he like, where, like, how does all this shit end, Kanye? I mean, you know, I love the dude's music. I won't deny that I love the dude's music. And yeah, homie's been saying like some anti-Semitic shit. And it's like all kidding aside, it's like, okay, I need to work on my vocabulary, but I am, when it comes to oppression, I believe we're one family. When it comes to oppression, there is no, we were oppressed more than the other. Look, yo, Holocaust ain't shit. I remember hearing, I was reading a book by Viktor Frankl, and he was just describing how, he's a Holocaust survivor, and he was describing a scene. He was just describing a setting while being in the Holocaust, in one of those concentration camps. And I remember feeling the same thing I felt while reading Roots and Kunta Kinte was describing being in a slave ship. It's just human misery at its worst. So I abhor, I hate human misery. And for Kanye, like there are people reacting to Kanye's anti-Semitic shit would hurt feelings, man. And, you know, justifiably would hurt feelings. But he went there. And, but here's the thing. It's one thing to make fun of black people. It's another thing to make fun of Jewish people. Cause they have the power to. They have the power. Individually, some of them have the power to make your life. They have the ability to limit your career. That's what I'm trying to say. Not all Jewish people. I'm just saying. Kanye is saying shit that are causing him to feel real life consequences, like losing $2 billion worth in business deals. And I'm wondering, I remember reading a story about, or hearing a story about Tupac shooting up his own car, which he's got the right to do, but Kanye is like, is this like the equivalent? Like he's shooting up his own career? Is like, how does it end? That's really what I'm trying to figure. I've heard on a podcast, I think it was Rod probably. He was just talking about how he's going through bipolar. And basically, because he's not taking his meds, he's a wild man. But once he starts taking his meds, he's going to be like, I did what? He might start to finally absorb the consequences of his action. But I don't know. Again, is he doing this shit intentionally? That's my question. And second, how does this shit end? It's fucked up. I've been trying to ignore Kanye news because I feel like I'm a puppet on a string, and he just wants me to read his headlines. But I'm like, what happens? I don't know, man. How does it end, man? It's a tragedy. Bottom line, it's a tragedy, and that's what we're going through. Hey, not bad on time. Maybe it is a good thing that I record on. There's a lot of shit that the last item I had in my random thoughts was, I'm gonna play this whole clip, and this is also gonna go under church wretchedness. Church wretchedness is my time where I say fuck the church. Anyway, yeah, and I'm gonna play this clip because I feel like it's also some what do you call that? Little moment of positivity. All right, here we go. Angry mom goes viral after giving an anti-LGBTQ commissioner hell during a public meeting. Hold on a second, cancel. Here we go.
Our town has never seen so much homophobic crap as we have since Miller came along. And I'm sick of it. These people have been with us this entire time, and we have never had a problem with it. Mm-hmm. They have never done any of the vile and disgusting things that that man and his weird cronies have leaked out of their mouth.
Period.
I've never been sexually assaulted at a drag show, but I have been in church.
In a church.
Twice.
Period.
And I'll tell you what, the men in that church told me it was my fault. This whole scenario should have stopped at the United States of America, where we have free speech, but it didn't. We're here. And it's so ironic that he also served in our military that guarantees us these freedoms. Moved from another place, come here and tell us that a community that we love, we are related to, we are friends with, that they're dangerous. That's bullshit. They haven't done anything. And I'm so sick of listening to this weird, fake, pious Christianity being the reason behind we have to protect the kids. Jesus didn't go anywhere and condemn people, ever. And spew hatred and lies and completely annihilate a group of human beings who just want to exist.
Just want to exist.
Four children that I also grew inside my womb, in case pious pippies here are part of this community, they will be lucky, because there is not a whole lot of families that would love their child unconditionally. And the fact that they want to take that away from children, that is child abuse. To immediately tell your child he is wrong for feeling like he doesn't belong. Conversion therapy, child abuse. And you don't need a moral compass to recognize something is wrong when it immediately hurts other people. So why are we even here? Why does hate even have a platform? I'm so sick of these straight white Christian males who are already at the top of the food chain acting like somebody is out to get them. Mm-hmm. They just want to exist, Aaron.
Period.
Peacefully. Leave them alone.
Without your 501c3 getting involved.
Love to you all. Mwah.
Here we go.
Message.
Yeah, I'm gonna end with this, and just final thought. The last thought is just it's an interesting how this was not planned, but how I started the show talking about the theme on my part of want to be true, want to be authentic. This is me, and how I grew up in the church. Yeah, in the church, I grew up. If you want to, you know, but my anger, whatever. I grew up, I got to control my temper here, but I grew up with the idea of hide yourself. Yeah, you can exist, but by these rules. And I love how if there's an admiration, if I am a supporter of my siblings in the LGBTQ community, aside for just being doing the right thing and, you know, human beings and all that. But if I am a supporter, it's because they inspire, they encourage the rest of us. Despite facing death, they encourage us to live a life of authenticity, of being your true self. That's all they're trying to do. That's it. In Christianity, you're thought to live a life to be a convenience to someone else's ego. Does that make sense? It's like the people who have a problem with, you know what? I'm just going to go off track here. But I just love the fact that I ended this clip. I'm ending the show with a clip reminding us to be true, to be our authentic self. And I don't have more to say. Shout out to this woman. I think her name is Jessica. Wait, what does it say? Must watch. I've never been sexually assaulted at a drag show, but I have been at church, which is well known. Twice the men told me it was my fault. Damn. Maury County Library Board. Local mom. Okay, they don't mention her name? They don't mention her name? That's probably in the article that attached to this thing. But yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. All right, and I'm going to... Sure, I had a lot of other thoughts to share, but you know what? I'm going to save it for Wednesday. All right, hey. Thank you for listening. Seriously, I appreciate... I'm grateful for the one person who might be connected to this. I'm grateful to any ear, to any person listening to this and processing what I'm saying. So, yeah, thank you from the bottom of my black heart. I don't like, because I'm pro-black. Anyway, yeah. Thank you for listening. Holler at me on, oh, goddamn. You know, I can't wait. I'm looking forward for the new social media to come out. Like, remember when MySpace was the thing and then Facebook showed up? Like, and we got to migrate. Like, I'm waiting for the new in thing. Because, yeah, man, I don't think Twitter's going to be around. Especially with that honky, Elon Musk. Elon Musk is that white dude who shows up to the party and it's like, fuck it, man. It's over. The party's over, man, with his lame ass, and he's like telling the DJ, "Nah, man, play my shit. I want you to play my mixtape, all right? And make sure you put emphasis on the N-word, whatever." Yeah, man. He's like, yeah, "Come on, white people. Come on, white boy. You guys don't create parties. You ruined them." That was a bad generalization. Okay, Elon Musk doesn't create parties. He ruins them. He might be good at what he does. Even that's questionable. But when it comes to bringing people together, maybe bringing white races together, sure, making them feel like, you know, like they're superior. Yeah, no, he's good at that. But, yeah, sorry, I just got triggered over the word Twitter. All right, yeah. Anyways, until further notice, holler at me on Twitter. My name is B Blizzat. Or find me on, use the Shut Up Podcast Twitter account, Mr. Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Find my show notes. The entry, the title of this episode is 0025. Because all I want to be is true. And email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Subscribe using our RSS feed or find us on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.